Okay, Rabbi Isai, we're going to continue tonight from Simon Shin Lamed Aleph Tziv Chof. To recap, those of you who didn't, all the shiurim were uploaded and they were available. So I'm sure you hopefully had the chance to listen to. Just to recap briefly what we are talking about, Simon Shin Lamed Aleph is talking about a very interesting topic, which is Cholel Eved, there's a fire taking place on Shabbos. What are you meant to save from the properties? So here's a fire, chas v'shalom. Now it goes without saying, but I am saying it and stressing it once. We are obviously not talking about a pikuach nefesh situation. Obviously, if it's a pikuach nefesh situation, you save your life and you save everybody else's life. This goes without saying. We are clearly not talking about that kind of scenario. What are we talking about? We're talking about everybody's is sound and safe and healthy and fine. We're talking about what kind of items can I remove from my property? What kind of items can be taken out of the place? Now, we're also not talking about if you have to go out into a public domain, because carrying from your own property into a public domain, that transgression is a Torah transgression. If we're not talking about that, that will be prohibited. You can't save food and clothes and tefillin and if you're transgressing a deraisa, you can't. We're talking about if you have to go into a semi-public domain, which is an eruv, which is a chotzer, a courtyard, and you have to leave your private property into a semi-public domain, and that includes itself rabbinical transgressions. And the question is, what you have to save, what not? And that's pretty much the discussion we've been discussing until now. Moving on from there, and that's what we're going to be talking in greater detail tonight as well, is that there is obviously certain items which you are saving for your own benefit, such as food, such as clothes, such as items which you want to save for yourself. Good, very nice. So we talked about three meals for Shabbos. We talked about clothing. Clothing, by the way, what was the halacha of clothing? Clothing, you can take as much clothing as you want. She can put one suit and then a coat and another coat and another coat because you're wearing them. She can just take out whatever you want. But leaving out clothing and food and all that, these are all items you're taking for your own benefit. There's something else as well, which what happens if you've got sforim? What happens if you've got tefillin? What happens if you've got a sefer Torah? What about the mezuzahs? What about all those things which have got items which have got kedusha because they are heilig? There's items which have got intrinsic kedusha. What about saving those? And that's what we're discussing now. It happens to be, and these halachas are incredibly important because they are identical, pretty much identical, they're very similar to the halachas of what needs to be put in Shemus. It's the same halachas. Because if it's something which I'm allowed to save, or I'm supposed to save from a burning fire, so it's because it's got kedusha. That obviously implies that it's something which, once I don't need anymore, I can't put it in the bin, but I've got to put it in there. In the Shemus, it's identical. It's the same background. See, if something is holy, that means it cannot burn. I have to save it from a burning fire. And at the same time, parallel to that, it also means that I have to put it in Shemus. So those are halachos. If anyone wants to know, what is something which I need to put in Shemus? And what is something which I can put in a dustbin? The halachos is actually to be found here. Yes?
It was because of nefesh. And you had your choice, either save yourself or the Holy Kedusha, you'd obviously save yourself.
Absolutely.
So you would let them burn?
Absolutely. Goes without saying. Absolutely, your life comes first.
In the non-Pekach Nefesh situation.
Yes.
Listen to Rav Shirim, and it seems to be ma'arich a lot on the meals.
Yes.
Why is it the Machaber talk about meals in such detail?
Very good. The answer is that because the background is because there's a
meal from somewhere else.
No, we are talking about you cannot get food elsewhere. If you can easily access food elsewhere, perhaps the halacha will be more stringent. But the background of it is that we have a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos. Three meals on Shabbos. And therefore, there's a mitzvah aspect to it. And once there's a mitzvah, you can take for the food as much as you want and as much as you may want. So it's because of the background of the mitzvah of it. And that's why, if the fire takes place on Shabbos morning, and you've had your Friday night meal already, you'd only be able to take the equivalent of two, as we discussed. Okay, two meals and not no more. And if the fire happens on Shabbos afternoon, in which you've had already two meals, you can only take one more meal out of the fire because you've had two meals already. Okay, we move on and we're up to page 354. And we are going to be learning Siv Chav Aleph. Siv Chav Aleph reminds me of an interesting story that is going to be answered here. My brother likes antiques. I have an older brother. He's a very special person. My older brother is very, very special, really special. I'm very...
Did he come to the bottom? No,
my brother didn't come. No, he wasn't well. He had just had an operation. Vokshem is fine now, but he went well noticed. He wasn't there yet. So he likes antiques. He likes antiques a lot. At times, he bought, now he doesn't really buy so much anymore, but he used to buy antiques. And at one point, anyway,
I bought him a whiskey.
They say that he resembles me very much. He looks very similar to me. So he bought once an antique chumash, and he made a mistake for some reason. He had to rush the purchase and everything, and he only noticed after he had purchased it that this was a chumash on the one side, and on the other side it was a translation into German in Hebrew letters, which was quite common 200 years ago. And after looking into it, the front page was missing, and it was quite a valuable purchase. It was quite an antique, quite unique piece of Chumash. And upon looking into it, investigating, it turned out it was a translation which was written by by Moshe Mendelssohn, which was the founder of the Reform Movement. The founder of the Reform Movement some 250 years ago, Moshe Mendelssohn, who was the founder of the Reform Movement in Germany. One of the real, wasn't up because he didn't believe in Tersha Baal Peh, he only believed in Tersha B'Ksav, and he was guilty of a tremendous push towards assimilation. Initially it was not so well known what he was pushing, where he was going, but eventually it was evident he was actually one of the main persona from the founders of the Reform Movement. He then had this Chumash, which was the Sefer Bereishis, from Bereishis Bara Elokim on the one side, and on the other side his translation, which was an inappropriate translation. It was a Reform translation. And the question then was that he didn't want to keep it in the house. You're not allowed to keep in your house a Chumash which is written with upper curses. This is the correct translation of upper curses?
Heresy,
that's right. So you had heresy on the one hand and chumash on the other hand. So on the one hand you can't keep it in the house. On the other hand you can't burn it because there's a chumash there too.
If you had chumash on an Old Testament and...
Absolutely. It would be an identical question. Just an Old Testament is not going to end up so quickly. And I'm saying, Goshen is not going to end up so quickly now. Not a bookshelf, but this was something which he had our son in his hand, and he didn't know. He can't burn it because it's chumash. He can't put it in. He can't keep it because it's.
What about Barry had a good question. What about if you're sleeping on a hotel room? You know, a lot of hotel rooms in a lot of Goshen countries have a copy of the old and the other thing. Right?
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you go to sleep in a room where there's a?
No, if it's got in a book form, yeah. I don't. Think there is an issa, I'm not sure.
It's not your book.
Yeah, you certainly. I don't know if there's an issa of. I don't know. I don't think there's an issa if it's like in its own, if it's behind a mechitza, if it's like in a cupboard or anything like that. If it's closed and locked, closed up, in a cupboard or in a anything like that. I do not think there's an issa of sleeping inside. I don't know, but I don't think there's an issa. Yeah. Obviously, if you can remove it, and you say you gently to the receptionist, and you say gently, if you can, yeah. Maybe that's probably best. But if you can't, I don't think it's an issa. So I say, what would you do? Can you burn it? You can't burn it. Can you stick? What would you do in such a case? So this is discussed.
Can you put it in Geniza?
Can you put it in Geniza? But it's Harris in there.
It's not covered to the rest of the.
Yeah. Can you put something in Geniza which is upper curse in it?
So why don't you just bury it? You could wrap it and bury it. Stuff.
Wrap it and bury it. Okay, let's see what Shulchan Aruch is telling us. Seif Chav Aleph, because this is very much covered here. Seif Chav Aleph teaches us as follows. We have to Simon Shin Lamed Aleph. Seif Chav Aleph, page 354 in our editions. Hapikosim, the Hapikosim. What was the translation of Yossel?
Hapikosim? Heresy.
No, but if it's somebody who...
Heretic.
The Hainu, i.e. Ha'adukim b'avodes k'chom people who are sticking a clean or who are close to avodes k'chom serving idols, v'chein, and similarly, mumorim b'avodes k'chom, similarly, people who are serving, who are actually hidden, but they are now serving avodes k'chom. This, I wonder if it's censored or not, I'm not sure these lines. They may have been censored over the centuries. Shekosvelim Kisve HaKodesh, which wrote Kisve HaKodesh. So that's very much a Chumash which was written by, in a precursor fashion.
The word is sacrilege, has not been
the word. Yeah, that's it. Sacrilege, okay.
Heresy is like when people go off, you know, off the beat rap, but if it's over there, then it's sacrilege.
Okay, so that's what it is, yeah. Shekosvelim Kisve HaKodesh, Kisve HaKodesh, Oysam, you will not see them from a fire. So again, we're talking about, are you allowed to save it or not? The answer is no, you don't save it. You've got an Old Testament which ends up in your, and it's the fire, but you do not save it. And even on weekday, Sulfin in Maskos, when you will burn it with its name of Hashem. You will burn it. So the answer is yes, you can burn it. If it's a Sefer Torah, which was written by Amin, if it's any Kisvei Kodesh, a Novi, certainly so, Novi, the Neviim, the prophets which are written in translation by non-believers, there certainly is full of precursors, obviously, and certainly you cannot keep this, and certainly Allah is over here, you will not save it from the fire, and in fact, what you have to do, even on weekdays, you can burn it with its name of Hashem. Do not worry about the name of Hashem, it can be burnt. You can be burnt.
Is it saying you're required to burn it?
No, it's in Matzino, here it's talking about you don't save it. Yeah, is it the Loshon Tzivui?
How can it say it's Afbachon?
Yeah, because really we're talking about Shabbos. Okay. Now he extends it and he says, yeah, even on weekday, it's a heter really. The back one is a heter that it may be burnt. Don't worry about the name of Hashem.
Can I clarify the halacha? Are we only talking about where there's a targum which is apocorsus, or are we talking about where a known apocorsus just wrote the text of whatever it is he wrote with no actual translation, but you know that his kavanas were...
I think that from the Shulchan Aruch, I would say the former, but the emphasis is that the Gemara says, Sefer Torah shekos amin. It seems to be even a Sefer Torah in its own right, which was written from Bereish Bo Elokim until Le'ene Kol Yisrael, and it's just the actual Sefer Torah. That's also something which has got no Kedusha. So that would imply that a Sefer Torah Shekos Amin, a Sefer Torah was written by Amin, by an Apikoros, that itself, although it's a Sefer Torah, but since it was written by a person like that, he's got no Kedusha.
Yes, but it's possible, government.
Yeah.
Always possible.
Yes. That's, by the way, why it's really important that when you buy mezuzahs, when you buy a Megillah, or you buy a mezuzah, you've got to mamash ensure. It's critical to ensure that you're buying it off somebody that is absolutely trustworthy. It's not worth it just to buy something a bit cheaper because you got a mitzvah from somewhere. It is very important that you buy it off somebody that is really reliable, that even if he didn't write it himself, he can trace back who wrote it, because otherwise you may chas v'shalom have somebody that is not quite, you know.
What about when you live by Chadash Sefer Torah, when the people write the last letters, and they let everybody write a letter?
Yeah.
How? What about if one person slips and writes a letter?
It's a problem. It is
possible.
They normally give. I mean, they normally ensure that. Who normally writes is you know, you want to have somebody who's like, yeah, you want to have somebody who's like a curse. I actually do care, tell you a story. It's true as well, you're right. Normally there's a few techniques they do, not for the reason you're mentioning, but for another reason. They will often help you write, otherwise it looks really ugly. Probably no experience in writing, it looks really, really bad. So they'll normally ensure that the sefer helps and supports the writing, that it comes out decent. So it's true that you want to, what it might be, that it's not considered properly written it's probably written by the sofa and just
I find it's there, I think.
Yeah, they normally do that, yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah, there is, but still. So lemaisa, but they will normally ensure that that people who are not considered yeshamayim are not going to be writing. Okay, we move on. Teva she'ochaz bo'u.
Oh,
very good. Thank you very much. Yes, very good. Yeah, very good. Shkoich, yeah. So it's interesting. In this particular case, my brother, he was a bochel, and he went to our Rav, Rabbi Levi, Zichron Livracha, and he then said, was Talmud of Moshe, and he then said that he shouldn't burn it, because by this particular individual, Moshe, there was a few additions, apparently, of his Chumash, some worse than others. And he said that at one point, it wasn't clear, these early writings, it was not evident exactly what he had meant and how bad he was. So he considered that it's not posher, that this particular sefer is considered sefer Torah Shekos Amin at this point of his life, and therefore he should not burn it, but he should put it in an exit, very much what you're saying, wrap it up and dispose of it in a semi-respectful manner. Cannot burn it, can't put it in shemus, and certainly cannot keep it. Certainly cannot keep it. Yeah, couldn't sell it. And dispose of it as well. Quite a financial loss, but yeah, that was it. That was the what happened in Act. But that's a story going back a number of years. So, but one should make sure. Just to repeat that, one should make sure that when one buys mezuzahs, one buys of a trustworthy and very reliable source. And a sfoam as well. You're right. I mean that it is unacceptable for somebody to have sfoam written by a person who's an apikoros. It is unacceptable to have sfoam written by an apikoros. And just because of that particular book was okay, you can't. It's Sefer Torah Shekos Amin.
Even if you copy it word for word.
Yeah. Nevertheless. Yeah.
No,
you can't. Sefer Torah Shekos Amin. Okay. Okay. You know, we'll stop over here. We'll continue with Sifchot Beis tomorrow. What we covered this evening was the Halacha of Apikoros, who wrote and simply Mumorim, who wrote Kisvei Kodesh, they're not to be saved, they're not to be burnt, even though there's name of Hashem in it. Okay, we shall continue, Beis Hashem, we'll see Sifchot Beis tomorrow.